good to see you today. I'm glad you braved the slick track to get to church this morning. I'm glad you did that. That's good, because we can worship together here and grow in our relationship with God. Well, I want to encourage you to get your outline out of the program that you received when you came in the door, and we're going to dive in here this morning. I want to share with you a bit of a personal story, and not a ton of, I've never shared this one before. I mean, it's not like super in-depth or anything, but I wonder if you might have related to this at different times in your life. Back in 2010, 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, it was later in 2010, but I had just finished earning my master's degree, and I found myself wondering, what's next for me, Lord? You know, where do I grow, where do I go from here? The year before, I was just ordained to the gospel ministry here at Stony Creek Church, and Leah and I welcomed our first son into the world. We moved into the house where we're living now, and unless the Lord directs us differently, we hope to live there in our retirement. We're planting roots in that community now. And so I just kind of felt like we were maybe plateaued, you know, so I just kind of hang out here now. What do you want from me, Lord? Well, now 10 years have gone by, and I can tell you that the Lord has moved in my life and grown me in all kinds of different ways that I didn't know 10 years ago he would be doing. He did it through the ups and the downs in life, the fun things as well as the tragedies. In the last 10 years, you know, we've said goodbye to loved ones who passed away, at least for now. Goodbye for now. We've welcomed another child into the world. My wife and I each earned another master's degree in that time. So we kept busy, you know, doing stuff. Here at the church, of course, we completed a lot of big goals and milestones in the life of our community here. We just recently, of course, renovated the building. This time last year, we were still meeting in the community center. And this place was just getting finished up for us to come in. I finished up enough for us to come in. And then, you know, we went to two services. So there's been things going on. But again, toward the end of last year, and as the new year starts, I find myself thinking the same thing. You know, what's next? And I've heard similar stories from friends of mine, dear friends around the church, who've experienced this even more deeply than me. You know, maybe after a graduation, you know, that's all you've been thinking about, you know, is, oh, I'm working toward this. You get to the other side, well, what now? You know, or maybe once you've settled into your career, you feel that way. You know, like, I guess I just hang out in this job until I die. That sounds exciting. You know, maybe it's when the kids are moving out. They're growing up, they're getting married, they're moving out. You know, I'm still some years away from experiencing that, but I've heard this kind of thing. And it could even be, you know, when you're recently widowed and you think, I've been with this person all my life. We've grown together. And it seems at these times that our growth has stopped or is slowing down quite a bit. Well, if you felt like this, all right, if this is a season you're in right now, maybe you're feeling that way right now. Is this it? I've got good news for you today, okay? We've got good news in the scripture today for us. And this is something that I've had to learn, and it's something that I need to remind myself regularly, all right? And it comes down to this. This isn't our main idea, so don't get your itchy writing hands going, all right? Though it might be clever enough to tweet on Twitter or put on Facebook or something. But something that I've learned is that growth in Christ, it's not about what I achieve for him, all right? It's about what I receive from him. Growth is something that God does to me, all right? It's not something I earn or achieve for him. My achievements aren't growth. It's what God's doing between now and when Jesus returns. And it never stops until Jesus returns or calls me home. So even when I'm 105, if I keep my cholesterol in check and make it that long, then Jesus is still growing me in my relationship with him. Though we do participate, it's what he does. And so today is part two in our series, Staying Power. All right, enduring, keeping the course, persevering. All right, that's what we're talking about this month. And this morning's message, part two, is entitled Miracle Grow. Miracle Grow. Jesus said to his disciples, we looked at this last Sunday, we'll probably look at it every Sunday. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will keep growing. You will thrive, Jesus says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our Lord teaches us that as we remain connected with him, we will keep growing. Now, earlier in this same message, the same talk that Jesus was giving to his disciples, he said these words. He said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So being connected to Jesus, according to Jesus, as his disciple, includes being connected to his people too. It includes that. And so Jesus' first disciples, they finally got this. You know, after his, they had a hard time getting this, but after his death and his resurrection, about a month and a half later, and his ascension to heaven, the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church supernaturally. We read about it in Acts chapter 2 last Sunday, and you can open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We'll be there the rest of the morning, and so you can camp out there. Last week, we were in there to look at the first public gospel presentation. The Apostle Peter gave this, and the people responded by putting their trust in Jesus. They came to Christ as Lord and Savior. We talked about what that means last week. You can check out our podcast for more, but I want to pick it up now, just a few verses later, to look at how the life of the Christians were here right at the beginning. It's an example to us. And so we begin in verse 41. And you can help me out when we get to the yellow print along the way here. It reads, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. There's some growth. All right, added to their number 3,000. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That's something only God can do, wonders and signs. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So look at that passage up there, particularly the things highlighted in yellow that we read together. Notice this overarching message of growth that's going on in the church. Notice what it's being said about how the church is growing. 3,000 were added to their number, okay? Everyone is filled. They're being filled with awe at these wonders and signs being performed. The Lord is adding daily to those that are being saved. And so this is all God's work. God is doing the growth here. It's not a slick, you know, marketing campaign. It's not an impressive business model. God is the one growing the church in this passage. God provides the miracle grow for us in our lives, in our families, in our church today, just like he did back then, and in the community world around us. The stuff that is in this passage that the Christians are doing, you know, their part, that's God's part, is the growth. The stuff that the Christians are doing isn't achieving or earning any of this growth. It's positioning themselves to receive that miracle grow. from God. That's what the Christians are doing. They're turning in the right direction, like a flower turning to the sun, you know, to get its light and nutrients that way. This is what the Christians are doing here. They're turning and positioning themselves to receive that miracle grow from God. Discipline and practice and hard work, I'm all for these things. They will help you achieve in life. Like a workout program, you get out what you put in. But that's not what we're talking about today, okay? Those things are good, and maybe I'll talk about them next week, okay? Goal setting and working hard and stuff. But this week is about a disproportionate supernatural growth, something only God can do. It's radical. It's people overcome with awe of God. It's miracles. We just sang this song. It was a new song, so it took me a little bit to get the rhythm of it, but I really like it. And I thought, man, what a great time to introduce that song, because we're talking about our miracle worker. We can't work miracles. God works miracles. Miracles are being performed. People are being saved. Only God can do that. When somebody crosses over from death to life, God is at work and has performed a resurrection in that person's life. Only God can do those things. So if we want what only God can do in our lives, not just the next thing we can earn, the next step in life, the next degree or promotion or whatever, we want God to grow us, we need to do our main idea, and it's this. You want to write this down today. It's connect with Christian living to grow miraculously. We plug in. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. We connect. And then we receive this miracle growth. Connect with Christian living to grow miraculously. We're going to go back through the passage now and look at it a little bit at a time here and see what are the believers doing that's positioning themselves for this miracle grow. And at each step, I'm hoping that you'll evaluate yourself. Where am I? Am I plugging in this way? Am I turning myself to receive this growth personally? All right? When we go through it, some of these, maybe most of them, are not going to surprise you. Yeah, of course he's going to say that. He's a pastor, and that's what pastors say. You know, when we get to each of these steps and you're filling in blanks, I don't want you to just agree with it. Are you doing these things? Are you doing these things in your life? Okay? And so let's look at them. I've heard all of these things before, too. And this week, God has been growing me through studying and learning this. And so let's look at three Christ-centered connections for growth. This is what connecting with Christian living looks like. And the first one there on the outline is celebration. Write down celebration. Celebrating and worshiping God is the first and best response that we have for who God is and for what he's done. We sang, this is who you are. All these things we said about God, this is who you are. We're worshiping and celebrating him for who he is and what he's done. It's our top way of connecting with God is worship. It's number one. It ought to be at the center of our lives as believers, and of course the center of our lives here at this church. Christian living is not just about agreeing to certain truths. Christian living is not just about behaving ourselves. You can be a real nice person, good neighbor, without being a Christian. It's about worship. The Christian life is about worshiping our Lord. Jesus gave us some major celebrations, and we see them here in this passage, major ways to celebrate who God is and what he's done for us. They're right here in Acts. The first one, and you can write it down under this point of celebration, is baptism. We see that right in the get-go in verse 41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized. Why were they baptized? Well, for starters, it's what Jesus told them to do in the Great Commission, right? We say we're Jesus followers, then you follow Jesus, right? And so in the Great Commission, Jesus said this. He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Who's them? The disciples, people who become Christ followers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're a Jesus follower, you'll do what he says, and he says get baptized. Baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol that pictures Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And for the believer that's getting baptized, it's showing that just as Jesus died for our sins on the cross, he took the penalty for our sin, which was separation from God the Father in our place, we die to our sin. We say, I am just killing off that old life apart from God. And just as Jesus was buried in the tomb, we're saying we're burying that old life. That is a dead, rotten, stinking life apart from Jesus, and I don't want it anymore. We bury it. And just as Jesus was raised bodily from the dead, glorified, never to die again, we're saying we have been raised to life in Jesus. We're celebrating that he has already raised us to life spiritually. We are now connected and alive in our relationship with him. And even when we die physically, we'll be raised again, our body, to meet our already alive spirit. That's what we're celebrating. The act of baptism doesn't save us, but what it represents does. It celebrates what he has done in our lives. Friend, if you are a Christ follower but you've never been baptized, indicate that on your connection card in your program. Put it in the offering bag when it comes around. We're planning to have a baptism March 15th. All right, Lord willing, that's when we'd like to have one. There'll be a class the week before. There'll be announcements in the program coming up soon. And so you'll get the details. But let us know now so we can make sure that we're reaching out to you. Hey, you said you wanted to get baptized. We got this. Are you going to do it on the 15th? You could sign up today. Say, yep, I want to get baptized. Another celebration that Jesus gave us, this is right from the Lord himself, is communion. Write that down. Communion. It's here twice in our passage, though it might be a little more hidden, because the word itself doesn't pop out like baptism did. But it says there in verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, and then down in verse 47, they broke bread in their homes. Breaking bread here is a reference to fellowship and to communion. Sharing communion together was at the heart of this community's life because Jesus commanded the church to repeat this memorial meal, to do it regularly, to do it often. It remembers Jesus' broken body and his poured out blood for us. The number one thing that Jesus has done infinite things for us. Just creating us in the first place. But then dying on the cross is the most urgent message that we've got. And when we take the bread and the juice, we just did this last week, we're remembering what he did for us through all five of our senses. That's one of the things I love about communion, is that we can taste and touch and smell the bread and the juice. It's not just reading it and hearing it, although that's also part of it. We hear the word as we read it together, of what Jesus did for us, but engages all five of our senses. This is it's a somber celebration, but it's a celebration, remembering that our Lord died for us. I've heard it said, not recently, and I'm glad, because you guys are very spiritually mature, but I've heard it said before, if I'm going to miss 1 week a month, it's going to be Communion Sunday, because I already know that. You know, I just heard somebody say, whoa, like that sounds like bad news. Maybe you felt that. You wouldn't say it out loud. You definitely wouldn't say it to me. But maybe if that, I already know all that. I know everything that Randy's going to say and everything Chris is going to say or whoever's doing communion. Don't do that, guys. This is from the Lord himself. Jesus told us to do this regularly. Why? To keep the gospel at the heart of our lives together as a church. And so we show up, and you know when we do it, God is growing us in that time. When we're remembering and we're taking the communion elements like we did last Sunday, like we will again next month, we're being grown by God in that process. The last thing on our list under celebration you want to write down is Sunday services. I won't preach too long on this because you're already here this morning. So you got it. All right. But it's still important to talk about. It's here in our passage. It says they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is for corporate worship and the apostles teaching the word. They're gathering together. Actually, at this time, while they were getting organized, they were doing it every day. They were coming every day to church to celebrate and to worship, to have a service. But as time goes on, we see the church begins meeting on Sundays. The first day of the week is how they call it in Acts, and Paul says it in his letters later on, because Jesus arose on Sunday. That's why they started meeting on, they picked that day. They called it the Lord's Day. It's when he arose from the dead. That's what we celebrate first and foremost every time we come together here, is that our Lord conquered death. He arose on Sunday. When I grew up in the Catholic Church, we would do like the Lenten season. We'd do the 40 days of fasting. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and so you would fast in some way during the week. But you didn't fast on Sunday, even during Lent, because Jesus arose on Sunday. It's not a time for mourning or fasting. It's a time for celebrating and worshiping. In this life, we can feel beaten. We can feel stalled out, like growing is slowed down or stopped. We can feel lost, hurt, broken, you name it. But when we come together here at church on Sunday, we've got reason to worship that just overshadows all of that. On some of my worst days, when I've been deeply betrayed by a close loved one, when I've lost somebody that I love, a family member, I've still been able to worship the Lord, that he's risen from the dead, that he conquered death for everyone who believes in him. And so God meets with us here every week. He grows us every week. We need to keep celebration, worship of God at the center of our lives. If you do that, you will keep growing until the Lord calls you home. Keep worshiping, you will keep growing. The second Christ-centered connection for growth we want to look at here is communication. Communication. No relationship grows without communication. Jesus says, if you remain connected with me, you will grow. How do you remain connected in a relationship with Jesus? There needs to be communication. My second to Jesus, my closest relationship in the world is, of course, my wife, Leah. I'm even closer to her than my own kids, and I love my kids. I'd lay down my life for them. But it's me and Leah in this world, you know, together. And yet sometimes, and if you're married, you've gone through this kind of thing, sometimes days will go by, maybe even a week or so will go by, where we haven't really connected. We've been in the same house. We haven't been arguing or, you know, we're not angry necessarily. We just, in the busyness or whatever excuse or reason we want to give, we haven't just sat down and really connected. Maybe we've updated our schedule or something, but no real conversation and communication where we're connecting with each other. It doesn't mean we've fallen out of love. It doesn't mean we're not married anymore. But if something doesn't change soon, things could go bad quickly. You start drifting and feeling like roommates. Even the greatest marriages in this room have felt that to a degree from time to time when they know they need to get back in communication with one another. Well, it's the same with our Lord. It's the exact same with our Lord. You love God. He loves you. You know it. You go to church. You serve. You're busy doing ministry. But you're not communicating with him regularly. Maybe you say a prayer before you eat because that's kind of a quick thing you always do, kind of like a rote kind of scripted prayer. And so maybe you do that, but no real just time of communicating and listening and pouring out to your God. Doesn't mean you don't love him. Doesn't mean you've been kicked out of being a Christian or anything like that. But without that regular connection, things could go bad quickly. You can begin to drift and feel very distant from God. And no wonder we would feel stagnant. Our passage reads in here, they devoted themselves to prayer. On your outline under communication, write down talk, and in parentheses, prayer. I tried to really spell it out for you. You're like, yeah, we get it. The talk meant prayer, Chris. No, I'm making you write both words. These believers, by the way, they weren't just praying sometimes. Oh, and they occasionally opened up their service with prayer. No, it says they were devoted to prayer. This community of believers was devoted. Why devote yourself to prayer? Well, a couple of reasons. One, it ushers us into God's presence. Prayer brings us into the presence of our God. This is the greatest and most undeserved honor and kindness that God could give us, that we could be allowed to come into his presence and meet with our Creator. What a blessing, what an honor, what an undeserved kindness from God. We know God's omnipresent, but I'm talking about a special relational presence. A relational presence. Prayer also unleashes God's power in our lives. The Apostle John wrote it like this in 1 John chapter 1. He said, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, going into his presence, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." God hears us when we pray. It's not deaf ears. He's not so distant. He's there. We're in his presence. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have it. That we will have what we ask of him, God's presence and his power here. Now, this isn't just rattling off some prayer like a wish, like a hope in the dark. We're talking about being devoted to prayer and God's will. We're talking about going in and praying, getting on our faces and spending time with our God, being devoted. Not just if I mouth a quick sentence, that's good during the day. Randy calls them his prayeros. You know, where he shoots up a quick prayer, "Lord, help me in this next thing, I'm nervous," or something, you know. But really spending time devoted to talking with your God and to sitting with your God. Even when we don't get the answer we want in prayer, or when we want it, God is still answering, and he's still growing us in that time. I think about when Jesus' prayer, his request was denied by the Father. We read about it in Mark, is one place. It says that he prayed that if it were possible for the awful hour awaiting him, meaning going to the cross, he prayed that the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me." Jesus prayed, "Please, I know everything is possible for you. Would you take this away?" This is what he wanted while he was praying. But even more than that, he says, "Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." The beloved Son of God, perfect, righteous. You can't say, "Oh, well, he was asking with the wrong motives. Oh, he was caught up in sin, so God wasn't." We can't say any of those little cop-outs about Jesus, okay? The perfect, righteous Son of God, unselfishly, just scared, nervous, anxious to go to the cross. And he's praying, "If there's any way we can do it differently, but not my will, your will." And the answer is no. This is the way that it has to happen. But still, through this time in prayer, if you read on in the Gospel of Mark, you'll see that Jesus went from being anxious, from crying, from sweating blood, he went from that to being calm, collected, confident, even when he was facing his arrest and his unjust trial and execution and embarrassment and shame and all of these things that they did to him. He faced it with strength because God grew his Son in that time during prayer. The Father was at work in the Son during his devotion to prayer, and the Son is at work in us when we're devoted to prayer, to connecting with him in prayer. You know, one way that you can increase your prayer life, you think, "I need more to talk about with my Lord." Well, a great way for us as a church to be devoted to prayer is our pastor's prayer letter. Goes out every week, unless, you know, it's Christmas is on a Wednesday or something, but goes out just about every week through email. If you're not signed up for that, you could write your email on your connection card, and we can get you. I'm the one that does it, so I will get you plugged in. And sometimes it goes to your junk mail, so if you don't get it in the first week, you might want to look at that and click it as, you know, trusted site or something, because it is a mass email. There's about 200 people that get it, and this is how we can be devoted to prayer together. Now, maybe you do get that regularly, but do you open it every week? And by the way, I can see a list of who opens it every week. You might not know that, but that's just how the system works. You're like, "Oh man, I'm so busted." No, I don't like look at it and judge you weekly, all right? But I can see, like, I can see when it says only 47% of recipients opened it this week. And that's still good. I'm glad 47% of the people that got it were praying over these things. And there's weeks where even I didn't open it back before I was sending it. Now I'm the guy putting it out there, so I got to check it's all written right and everything after Randy finishes it up. And so I'm working through it. But there's been times that I haven't opened it too, all right? This isn't a guilt fest here. This is a challenge. It's a challenge to be devoted to prayer. All right? You can sign up on your connection card for that. But of course, communication is a two-way street. There's us talking, but there's us listening too for God, right? And so that's the next thing on our outline is listening. And in parentheses, you can put Bible. Of course, we listen in prayer too. If I was doing a sermon just on prayer, we would talk about being still, and we would talk about listening in prayer as well. But right now, I want to talk about Scripture here. And in our text, it reads, in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So this is the God-inspired teaching of the apostles. It says it was accompanied by miracles, by signs and wonders being performed by the apostles. The church is devoting itself to this, and now that teaching is contained for us in the pages of the Bible, especially the New Testament. This is the apostles' teaching. This is what the Holy Spirit gave them to teach. And now, through the centuries, 2,000 years later, we have it contained here for us. The Apostle Paul writes it like this, a very familiar passage when we're talking about Scripture in 2 Timothy 3. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you look at that passage and it's talking about the Word of God here, it's telling us that the Bible is essential for our spiritual growth. It's our food. You know, Jesus said, man survives on every word of God, every word that comes from God. This is our sustenance. It's essential for our maturity, essential for our effectiveness as a Christian. I'm not sure we can be very effective as a Christian unless we are taking our daily sustenance from God's Word. Why? Because it says so right here. It says so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work, to live your life as a believer. We need to be devoted to it. And of course, devoted means not just a casual listen, like sometimes when Leah will say something to me, and then she'll say, were you listening? And I'll turn into Emmett Brokowski from the Lego movie and be like, oh yeah, I heard you, but just in case, could you say it all again? I wasn't listening. No, we need to be devoted to the Word of God, which means, like James, the half-brother of Jesus, an author of Scripture, wrote, he says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Help me out. Do what it says. Obey the Word of God. Active listening. Obedience. If we want to see supernatural growth in our life, whatever stage of life we're in, whether you're a teenager or you're a retiree, anywhere in between, we need to be devoted to communicating with our God, to be praying and to be reading His Word and doing what it says. You can get a Bible reading app. We've been talking about the last few days because they always come out in January. Out at our Welcome Center, there's the Bible reading plan out there. Or I might have said app because that was the next thing I was going to say. Is there's Bible reading apps that can track daily reading and set it up for you so you get a chunk of God's Word every day. For a while, when I was trying to get into the habit, I would set reminders. I would set reminders. And they would pop up, and it reminds me to get up. Well, there wasn't Facebook back then, but today it would help you, remind you, oh, I've scrolled Facebook enough. Now it's time to get into the Bible app and get into God's Word. All right, let's look at the final Christ-centered connection we're going to look at together here this morning. In our passage, it's community. Write down community. This is a vital connection. Remember, Jesus said that we need to love one another, that's how we are showing that we're His disciples. There's a community involved. And so this passage here in Acts 2 is just loaded with references to the community of Christians. Look at this passage. I'll look at it here because it didn't come up there real quick for me. And it goes, 3,000 were added to their number. We skip down. It says they are devoted, just like they were to prayer and to the apostles' teaching. It says they are devoted to fellowship, All the believers were together and had everything in common. Look at this. This is radical. It said they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who has need. It says they continued to meet together. That was in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a loving community here that is knitting itself together. I mean, this is just getting started. They didn't have a well-organized, you know, 4C step process for including people and stuff like that like we might have today. They were just knitting themselves together, and at the bottom line was is that they were doing life together. They were sharing with one another. They cared about one another. They loved one another. You've got a need. I've got a resource. I'm going to sell my resource to be able to help your need. They were just finding ways to do this. They were celebrating together, meeting, opening up their homes to one another so they could meet in each other's home. And what's going on? God is growing that group. The group is loving one another, caring for one another, and people are coming in and they're caring for them too. All right, they're not so huddled in on each other that nobody can break into the group. People keep going into this group, and it keeps growing. And it says God is doing it. He's growing that group because it's healthy. One of the biggest draws for people to go to church ought to be how much we love one another here and care for one another. That's what drew me to Stony. I was invited here, and the thing that kept me coming was, man, these people really do love each other. That was as a teenager I noticed that. I didn't notice very much when I was a teenager, but I noticed that when I came here to Stony, and it made an impact. Remember what Jesus said. We can read this whole thing together here. I want to make sure that one's up before I start reading it. This is what Jesus said. Help me out. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I know the church has been known for the opposite. In some circles, but we got to guard against that. We need to prioritize our relationship with each other. And you know, that's impossible if you don't go to church. You know, but you're here, so I'll skip that part, and I won't make the case for coming to church in the first place. But do you know that it's still near impossible if you only come to church on Sunday, but aren't somehow connected with the community, you know, in other ways throughout the week? And so you might be a part of the celebration that we talked about, the Sunday services, but are you also in the community of believers? I've got a spot there on your outline for some next step notes, and I'm just going to put a few up here, and maybe there's something that sparks if you're feeling like, I need to get a little bit more connected into the community of believers. There's some different ways you can do that. We've got our Wednesday night connection nights. You heard about Randy's new class through the Psalms that he's going to be kicking off here. Get out to that on Wednesday. We have a meal before, and it's you get to connect with people relationally. It's a lot, you know, more casual, a lot more face-to-face time throughout the night with the cafe and before and after the different classes and activities going on through the night. That's a great way to get connected with the community. I'm being grown during that time. There's also small groups. If you're not in a small group, these are groups of people that meet together, usually in different homes around Macomb and even Oakland County for prayer and Bible study. There's usually an element of food involved, so that's nice. There, you can visit our website for that. That's up there on the slide, my.stonycreek.church, and click small groups. Our small group leaders are actually having a meeting today after the second service, and we're talking about our emphasis for February and March. And you're going to be hearing more about that as the weeks go on. If you're not in a small group, that's just a great occasion to get plugged in with this emphasis that we're going to be launching here in the next couple of months. Get plugged in. Another great way to start getting connected is our newbie lunch. We got one January 26th, and it's after the 11:30 service. So on that day, this is 10 o'clock, but come to the later service. If you're newer to the church or you're looking to get more connected, we do this on purpose so that there will be a venue where people can just wander in and be like, connect me, you know? And that's great, you know? We don't pounce on you like bloodthirsty, crazy people. We just figure if you're there that you'd like a conversation. And it's fun, and it's Jet's Pizza. We even got the good stuff, not the other $5 stuff, all right? That's once you're on the team for a while, and that's what you get on the thing. Yeah. And finally, the last thing that I want to say on this one is that if you are connected here at Stony, if you feel like, oh, I am connected, you're in a small group, you're one of these things up here, are you helping other people get connected? See, that's important too. This group was loving each other very much in Acts chapter 2, but they are also welcoming and plugging these new people that God was adding all the time. You know that Randy can't just be personally connected with every person who comes through this door. I can't. Even the elders and the staff, the other leaders. So it's something we all need to do as a church together. We all need to help folks coming into this church to feel connected the way I felt back in 1996 when I first visited. I want every person who comes in to get to experience that. If they'll put themselves out there, we should also be looking for those opportunities. Connect with Christian living to grow miraculously. To grow miraculously. I'm going to invite the band up here. We're going to have our time of offering here in just a minute. At the bottom of your outline, we're trying something a little different this month, and that is to give you some follow-up questions. And so I want to encourage you, after the service, don't let all this information and whatever the Lord has been putting on your heart during the message, don't let that just get popped out by lunch or whatever, okay? You can use the notes, the questions at the end of your outline to do some personal reflection, maybe talk in your small group or with your family at lunch. Spend some time chewing on this and making some decisions to live differently, to be transformed by this, all right? Not to earn a whole bunch of growth in your life, but to position yourself to receive what God has for you, the miracle grow that God wants to do right now in your life. All right, let's pray for this morning's offering together. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here together to worship you. And we do worship you. We worship you with this offering. It's an act of thanksgiving and worship to you, God. We pray you'd bless the offering, that you would use it to advance your kingdom, your will. And God, I pray that every one of us, even if we've been a Christian for 75 years, I pray that we would be constantly positioning ourselves back to be grown by you, by your Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.